Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Eszol Gabir úr, jelentsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Jelentsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyát!
Okay, hey, this is the Gaming Beast, and this is Beastcast number 13. How is it going on, sexy people? Okay, this will be a little bit late. It might be on Friday that you will listen to this, but I've been working on Gaming Beast Reviews show number 5, or just simply Gaming Beast episode 5. Which is my Castlevania port comparison, which I have been working on for a long time. Finally it comes out, which marks now, in a way, the second season of the review show. I've been just doing Let's Plays and a podcast lately. And of course, my D&D nights, which I need to start uploading too, more of them. Anyway, episode 5 is a port comparison of Castlevania, which I had fun doing. I want to do more of those. It might spin off into a separate series, but I gotta get more episodes also out. The next one will be a single review. And Retro has posted a comment suggesting a Mortal Kombat port comparison. That would be interesting because Mortal Kombat was ported for many other games. For many other systems, I mean. Excuse me. Yeah, so Mortal Kombat has been ported for... I'm a big Mortal Kombat fan, but definitely the best version. A lot of people, when they talk about Mortal Kombat 1, yes, most people got the Genesis version because you could unlock blood. I played the first one on my friend's Super Nintendo. It was really lame that there was no blood and you couldn't even unlock it. It was just like dust instead of that. It was it's horrible. We still had fun with it a lot. Scorpion's fatality was intact because I'm guessing burning somebody to a skeleton is okay. I guess it didn't look realistic enough. Not that any of the blood was realistic, but still, it was a big deal back then. If you're a kid who grew up in the 90s like me, then you know what I'm talking about. There are so many games to review, and there's a lot of games to do port comparisons. I have a couple that I want to do. The next one might be actually Contra, because Contra has been released in many different systems that a lot of people don't know about. Most people are just familiar with the excellent NES port, which is actually a port for the arcade. That's really when it really became the legend it became, when it was released on the NES. But you'll know when it comes out. I'm going to try to do Gaming Beast episodes, review episodes, weekly. Either Wednesday or Tuesday, I'm not sure yet. But there's gonna be a specific day when they come out. This one was just like, I worked through it the whole day, and I was basically, I just crashed, so that's why this is being done late. But what you gonna do? Also been watching, before I continue, I have lots of stuff to talk about. I'm gonna throw in a song. And I'm... Hey, what's up? And I'm back. And let's continue on. Because I've been reading again something of the Game on the Game Over Thinker. And apparently there's this Kickstarter for Feminist Frequency, who is a... Pretty much... I think she is one of the more famous feminists on YouTube. And why I'm talking about this, because I usually don't talk about stuff like this, but... At least not on... I do talk about it, but not, you know, on podcast form or any kind of recorded form. I have a big issue with this, because he basically is posting that Feminist Frequency is doing a Kickstarter to do some kind of one of her big projects where she's going to look at females in video games and how sexist they are. Like, something is called Tropes versus Women in Video Games. But she did Tropes versus Women in Movies. And basically she's saying how over-sexualized women are. Her show is about how women are over-sexualized and used, and like, in a way, and in comic books and movies and stuff. And let me start out with this. There's probably going to be people, at least not the normal listeners, but if anybody listens to this and they're a big-time feminist, I'm not against women, I'm not against feminists, I'm just against people. I've seen her show, and every one of her videos, if you look at her, just look at her face, she has this judgmental look on there. Now, I'm not saying I'm against all of her ideas, okay? But I'm just going to say that she has some issues with men, okay? Oh, whatever. Okay, I'm stepping into territory I shouldn't, but let me explain. I'm not against all of her ideas, but in general, I'm you know, I agree. Yes, women are, you know, she has a problem with women either being put as weak objects of desire in video games, or as over-sexualized as background characters, or as, you know, like the sexy sidekick or whatever. She has, like, names for that. And there's some truth to that, yeah, but that she's actually run a Kickstarter and she got... How much did she ask for? Okay. Is my problem with these Kickstarters. If it's something that I agree with, that is, they actually produce something, like when it's a charity, for example, or it's a video game or a movie or a book of some nature, if she would have written a book. So my problem is that, you know, she might be a cool person and everything, but I just don't agree with her, which is, I'm not complaining, you know, it's like, you know, if you don't agree with her, why are you talking? I'm talking about this because she has gotten a lot of harassment, you know, and I don't agree with the harassers either, they're just mindlessly, you know, raging. I'm going to say it like this. Women in video games have been portrayed that way for a very simple reason. For the longest time, there weren't any... most video games, and I'm not saying there weren't any females involved in programming the games, but when you go to the very genesis, most of them were male nerds that made video games, because if you go back, way back to the 70s or even the 60s, I would say somewhere around the 60s, like 70s really, like, look, there has been some proto-development with, like, the space shooters, the first space shooters, Space War. I was in the 60s sometime. I think that's considered the first video game or the first commercial release. That is a whole topic for itself. What is the true first video game? Most people agree the first released one was Space War, and then Nolan Bushnell bought it. Like, he bought the computer. They made a Space War game, which is basically the first shmup, although it was more like a Star Trek kind of. They were trying to simulate more Star Trek, in a sense. I don't know. But basically, this is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, for the longest time, video games were made by lonely guys, by lonely nerds, to be exact, that would always have a lot of fantasies, a lot of dreams about women that were unobtainable to them. Okay, just like with comic books, just like with movies, you know. Now, nowadays there's way more females in the design of video games, and the state has changed, you know. But my biggest problem with this is I'm not against her show. I mean, I personally don't like it that much. Ooh, because I'm a man, so I automatically. No, it's because I don't like it because she's saying basically toys that are made for boys are bad, that are violent are bad, and girly toys for girls are bad because they teach girls some kind of things, you know. And the toys are not the problem, because the people who make the toys are not, they just want to do good business. So it's the society around the toys, around the movies, around the products that we buy that has to change. If we demand more gender neutral, I guess, because that's what she's pledging for, is gender neutrality. She wants toys and video games and movies that are... Let's talk just about video games. She wants video games that are gender neutral. She wants the females to do exactly, to be and do the exactly same thing every time. I'm not saying sometimes, but every time, like the males do. Now, she's, you know, looking at video games and whatever, and all I can say is there's plenty of video games where women are on equal ground, you know, yes, and there's many, many more where that's not the case. She has this picture here of this thing. So she's basically doing a video, like a review, and she asked for $6,000 and she got $136,460. So she's overfunded, and yeah. Some people will say, oh, you're just jealous and whatever. No, she worked hard. She made, you know, actually pretty good quality videos in terms of video editing and research and everything. But there was just always a hint of, you know, you are wrong and I'm right, you know. It's not even that she's, like, you know, hating on males or anything, but there was just this hint of you're wrong and I'm right. And I'm not saying every feminist that is that way, definitely not. I met feminists that were not that way. I met quite a few, you know. And I had good discussions with them and everything. But that she's getting so much money just to research, basically to play video games and to do some, you know, I'm going to say a more, you know, something that you could see in a college or like a university level, maybe even, you know. And she says, you know, her videos are being used in universities and college, and I'm happy for it. That's great, you know. But to get so much money to make a video like that just rubs me the wrong way. It's like talking about something that we know, you know. Video games and movies, they're trying now really hard, and also comic books, as we've seen. They made the Golden Age Green Lantern gay now in DC, and which I didn't like. But what I did like is Marvel's superhero that has been known to be gay, Northstar, but wasn't completely out of the closet, is now out of the closet with flying wings, and he's gonna marry somebody. And you know, can we move on now? Can we move on? I would say, if you want to have a good example for homosexual superheroes that actually work, just look at the Authority from Wildstorm Comics, which is Wildstorm's version of the Justice League, where you have Apollo and Midnighter, which are basically Superman and Batman. Apollo being very much like Superman, he has the same powers, super strength, flight, heat vision, and he has his powers come from the sun, with Midnighter, of course, being the opposite, very much like Batman. He doesn't have any, yes, some powers, some modifications, but most of his powers comes from that he can fight really well and that he can outthink everyone. He's basically Batman. And they're really cool characters, you see. But with these characters, it worked because they were made that way from the ground up. Okay? If you have a character like Alan Scott, Green Lantern, who is around now for 60 years, the original Green Lantern, and now they remake him as a gay guy. I talked about this with Retro. I'm going to post this, I don't know, in this episode or the next. I'm not sure yet. But this is just a problem for me. Like, what do the people get when they back this project? You know, people are talking about the angry video game nerd and how much money he gets, and like Al Salieri does at least, and you know, I'm not, I like the angry video game nerd, but I do agree some his last couple of videos haven't been that good. But you know, I think he has done the joke and he wants to move on. He wants to actually make movies, you know. But he's kind of stuck in to do the angry video game nerd because that's the most successful, that's what people want from him. But he wants to make movies. He definitely loves video games, but when he does his show, he actually does more a story than a review. And that's the problem is with Salieri doesn't, you know, I mean, he does get it. He's an intelligent guy, and, you know, I understand him. He wants a review, you know, and he says his early episodes were funny. But I don't know. Like, Salieri, he tends to kind of fall into the drama thing, you know. I don't know. Does he want the drama? I mean, it definitely helps his popularity to a degree, but I don't think he wants the drama. But then again, he reviews reviewers, and quite a lot of them will get butthurt because especially people on the internet are not very smart, you know, they get butthurt and then they do stuff like that. They complain and bitch and moan, and instead of, you know, just rolling with the punch and just, you know, hi, yeah, it's pretty funny, you're probably right. Maybe even taking some pointers and maybe even changing. Or just doing whatever you do and don't just ignore it, you know. I don't know, it's not that hard. But like, I guess if people really want to watch it, that's the thing with Kickstarter. In the end, the people who want to watch it, they will pay for it. I just personally am like, this Anita Sarkeesian, I'm just like, I don't know, like, I can see some of her videos were interesting, but on the other hand, you look at a game like The Sims, which was very much, for example, especially The Sims 2, which was the first game where you could also have, you could, if you wanted to be together, you know, if you wanted to have, you could have a normal relationship, you could also have sex for the first time, because you couldn't have in the first Sims, you could only adopt kids, and you could get pregnant, you could get children, you could also still adopt, because you could also have homosexual couples now. And women can do anything that men can do in this game. So I think Sims 2 is a step in the right direction. But I personally, you know, also as a guy, you know, I like, you know, female shapes. And I like beautiful females. And yeah, so they're over-sexualized, you know. Guys have been also over-sexualized and over... It's something that started really in the 90s with comic books and just got over to video games. You know, obviously, one of the things that she would probably hate the most is Duke Nukem. But she has to see Duke Nukem was targeted for 12-year-old boys who don't think straight, you know, who basically, for them, everything is a dick joke. And they want to see boobies and they want to feel like a strong male, you know. Some people would say Duke Nukem is a negative character, but You know, sure, he is macho, and sure, he's definitely sexist, but he's not women-hating. I mean, you know, he loves women, definitely, and he protects them. So he is more on the side of, like, you know... And people have been bashing the new Duke Nukem game, and a lot of it was the humor that doesn't work anymore. And I'm like, if Duke Nukem is not a serious game, he's not a serious character, you wouldn't take... If I would say Duke Nukem was partially inspired by... He's an amalgamation of... The creators was their favorite movies. They basically took... what did they take? They took, of course, Army of Darkness. And they took the character of Ash. I mean, the whole... Hail to the King, baby. That's something that Ash says. And they took some of his... what is it? How do you call that trope? One-liners. There you go. And there's also... They... No, that's not in my notes. They Live, right. That movie from Carpenter, I believe... Okay, yeah, They Live. The character from John Carpenter, and the character that is played by Roddy Piper, he's just called Nada. That character is also physically one of the inspirations, the glasses and, you know, the big muscular build. It's the other inspiration of Duke Nukem. And in that movie, this is a little spoiler, but, you know, if you haven't seen They Live yet, you really should. A lot of people, some people might say, I can't really say if you think that one is overhyped, because you might not like the other John Carpenter movies, but this is one of his best work. I like most of his movies. Definitely The Thing and They Live are the two movies you gotta see. Big Trouble and Little China is something that is pretty fun, but, you know, some people just won't like it, and I can see why. And of course, Roddy Piper's one-liner. I'm here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum. That's something he said. Another thing that inspired Duke Nukem. And basically, Roddy Piper is everything what the 80s action hero is, and obviously. That's something that I personally like because I grew up with this. There was a time when I was a teenager in the 90s where I didn't like that, where I just said no to that, and everything was supposed to be Tarantino and Matrix and dark leather jackets and cool dialogues. But I came back to that, and I see it as obviously nostalgia. And a lot of these kids nowadays, and I'm like, ooh, I'm so old. No, I'm not. But they see things in ironic ways. They just like movies and comic books and books and just things from past in ironic ways. And I am like, I can understand what they're doing. It's kind of a movement, but I'm like, on the other hand, it's not something I like. I never got really the hipster movement because I guess I'm just older and I just don't get it, you know. And also this whole, you know, I'm not. You see, when it's really an evil thing if you just say anything negative about anything that is hip right now or anything that you're supposed to like right now, you know. If I say I don't get the whole gender confusing clothing where people are just guys are dressing more feminine and girls are dressing more masculine. I'm not against that, but I personally wouldn't, you know, dress that way, you know. And I wouldn't, you know, I don't judge people on how they look. That's something I don't do. Of course, first impression, to be honest, guys, come on. A first impression is a first impression, and anybody who says anything different, it's not true. But for me, the first impression is not that important. I will talk to pretty much anyone, and I will give anyone a chance, unless I know specific details that about this person and why I wouldn't talk about them. Now, this girl or woman or whatever, Anita Sarkeesian, who's doing this feminist frequency thing, you know, I'm happy for her that she's successful, but this show is not for me, and this is not because I'm saying, oh, well, feminists are against men. No, that's not the truth. They are for women. All feminists are for women, but not all feminists are against men, but some of them are against men. And I'm not saying that she's one of them, but a lot of the things always boil down to men are doing things the wrong way, and this is how you should do it. And I'm like, I don't like people telling me or telling people in general, even a whole gender, what to do. Even if they have been doing something wrong, they have to... It's good that somebody is telling them, but it's like, on the other hand, everybody knows that shit, you know? Everybody knows that, you know? There's this picture of all these characters. You have Princess Daisy, you have the chick from Halo, and even the hologram is evil, I guess, because, I mean, you know, she looks more or less nude, I guess, but she's a hologram. So I don't know what you're going to have sex with a hologram. I guess if it's like a Star Trek hologram, then it would work. And she has here a chick from Gears of War, and I'm pretty sure it's from Gears of War. I'm not familiar with Gears of War, but I don't see her problem. What's her problem? Probably she's going to say that there's an abundance of white characters. And I'm like saying, yeah, that's true too. But on the other hand, well then, you know, you're always complaining to the game companies, and it's the society that you have to see. You know, if the society wants more racial diversity in video games, then the video game companies will notice that eventually. Maybe it will take them some while. But it happened in movies, you know. Like, there was no racial diversity in movies for the longest time when you look at all of movie history. Now it's not the case anymore. Although, you know, there could be still more black actors and more Asian actors who are not just, you know, doing martial arts, you know, but is it my place or anybody's place who's, you know, if somebody is directly involved and they see this and they want to change these things, then go ahead, you know, do these things. But don't blame the society, don't blame an entire gender for what companies they've been selling these things because obviously society wants to buy these products. And again, video games are not real life, you know. They are like movies, they are a type of entertainment. And they are representing things that we cannot do in real life. If everything is as mundane and as, you know, because women, most of the time, they won't dress that way, you know. Yes, maybe if they're going to a party or something, you know. And nowadays women, you know, they dress more sexually free, you know. And I thought that was something, what I don't understand with feminism. Maybe I should read up on feminism, but I'm not against reading up on feminism. I just don't see the point. If there's somebody here that wants to educate me on that, you know, sure, write me a letter. I'll read it, you know, but if it's something that is imaginary and it's obviously made for a gender, for a person of a gender, you know, and they obviously been selling these products because they have been selling, you know. Even Miss Pac-Man is on there, and I guess, oh, it's the Smurfette principle. What were they supposed to do? And anyway, Miss Pac-Man was basically just Pac-Man 2. You just put a bow on her. Pac-Man didn't have any storyline. Pac-Man was all about the gameplay, you know, and it was just a joke. It was just some fun. You know, it's like, then again, I cannot really judge upon a picture on the whole video. Of course, Lara Croft is there, and she's gonna just go on with Lara Croft about, you know, how sexist she is and everything. And I'm kind of, come on, it's the 90s. Video games have been very experimental. You know, and they just represent these people. When they were making the games, they were focusing most of the time on the gameplay. What the characters would look like and everything were more or less an afterthought or in the design process, and they thought, you know, I like chicks with big boobs, and I have a girlfriend, but she would never do this, and she would never look that way, and or I don't have a girlfriend, and how cool would it be to live in a world where this would be possible, you know? Is it such a big problem, you know? It's like, isn't it like freedom for women? Isn't it like how they want to dress? Like if back in the olden days, they were dressed up like, you know, not showing any skin or anything, and that was then anti-feminist. And then when women started to dress more freely and showing off their stuff, you know, their cleavage and their legs and everything, then that was supposed to be the sexual revolution and the freedom, and now that's a problem. But, you know, women dress that way to impress men, just like how men dress in a way to impress women. Like, a lot of the ways women want us to dress, men don't want to dress that way, you know. Men don't want to dress, a lot of men don't want to wear pink shirts and crap like that. A lot of men don't want to put gel in their hair and stuff like that. Or they want to put in a lot of gel in their hair, but their woman doesn't want that, you know, or so on and so forth. Right now, men with long hair, some, you know, I guess some, it works for some people in some countries, but in Germany, for example, long hair, I guess, is more or less seen as like, oh, you are an outsider, just go away from me, you know. If she's saying, you know, why are these women dressed that way, she should rather ask, why do men want to go into these virtual worlds to experience something else? If, you know, what is the problem with the real world, you know, and see that. I'm sure she's going to address that, but my problem is here. She is, okay, 5 video series, now expanded to 12 videos. And she said, oh, and there's positive role models that avoid that with Portal 2. And I'm like, the chick in Portal 2, you know, she definitely went against that, and I did enjoy that. You know, she had, I guess, normal clothing on, but it was just like a, just some kind of weird insanity asylum, or I don't know, like workers' clothing or something. She didn't have any personality, just like Gordon Freeman really doesn't have. I mean, maybe more. But the personality that you know from Gordon Freeman is the one that you really add to yourself. So, and Portal 2, and Portal in general, there is no personality of the main character. All the personality that you can find from the main character is injected from the outside world, and the only character in Portal 1 is the main program that, you know, the whatever it's called, I forgot. You know, the big with the big robot eyes, and you have to throw it into the thing. You know what I'm talking about. If you played Portal, Portal 2. Now you have the expansion with robots. I guess robots are okay. I guess as long as they're, you know, shown as gender neutral, then see. The problem is with anything, but especially like also with video games and movies, it's really hard to make something that will not offend somebody. I heard this story, and this is probably an urban legend, but Then they made a video game about box stacking, like some kind of, I think like Shokoban or something. And even that, there was like box stackers, like workers that were upset about it. This might be something like an urban legend or something, but that's the problem. You're gonna piss off somebody if you want to make something worthwhile. Do women have to dress up like slutty all the time in video games? And also this sluttiness and this not sluttiness, this is something that really doesn't come from feminism now, or shouldn't, but it really comes from the religious upbringing from most of the people here in the West. And in general, it's like women are supposed to be this, you know, something we should protect because they're so, you know, and that's sexism also in the other way. So I don't see what's the big problem. You know, yeah, sure, definitely, you know, if game producers should make more games with more, and they have been making, you know. There's this one game with the parkour chick. Yeah, she was attractive, but she was, not really dressed in anything crazy sexual, or, you know, not really, just normal kind of hip-hoppy clothes. There's another example, Majesty. The units, the paladins, which are usually portrayed as males, they've been portrayed there as all females. And they are not wearing the chainmail bikini-style armor. They're actually wearing more functional armor. So there is examples, you know, and yeah, you might have to look for them a little bit. But there's whole genres that avoid that by just having... Like I remember Age of Empires 1, the peasants, although that is more historical, so those games are trying to be historically correct, and that's a different kind of thing. But I remember the peasants in the first one, and all the units were all males, which is kind of literally a Smurf society. But in the second one, you would have random male and female peasants, and you could also assign the female peasants to do the same kind of work, although, yeah, all the military units were still male. But that's just something, if it's a historical game, that's just how it was. Most military, in most countries, for the most time, for long periods of time, were dominated by males, you know? I would say... until the 20th century, there weren't really any females in wars directly on the battlefield. Of course, females did a lot of things in wars, a lot of very important things, you know. And I can think about the World War II Trümmerfrauen, which are the wives and the female relatives of soldiers that were left behind, that were more or less rebuilding the country in Germany. And... yeah, you see, their sexism, things like that, weren't even an issue, you know. Yeah, sure, it was a very different society, and I'm not saying, but it just seems like right after a catastrophe, right after shit hits the fan, people don't think about these, we don't think about the differences, we just think about how to work together, you know. So, if you look at, for example, games in a more grander scheme, like strategy games, or even like, I remember XCOM, for example. When you hire units, you will get random units, and you know, you can have female, male characters. That's a good example. Yeah, that was a good example, and you have to work for a common goal to save Earth from alien infestation. So, yeah, sure, if you look at the console, I'm not saying that console games are worse than PC games, but they might be a little bit worse because they are more focused on a more, or at least have been focused on a more younger demographic, or a more different demographic. because they console games to this day have been always like more focused on the action genre, and the action genre is something, especially what is not a popular genre, first person shooters, third person shooters, that's pretty much it in sports games. That's like racing games really didn't have that much of an impact anymore. I mean, they're there, but most of the time it's like a racing game now has to be like a GTA style game or like a Need for Speed Underground style game. Or so, like, most of the time. The simulators are still being made, like Gran Turismo, but it's more of a niche thing now. I mean, it's not a niche thing, but it's, like, getting there, I think. Cause really, when people are talking about video games nowadays, they're usually talking, what is the new third-person shooter, what is the new FPS gonna be? If you look at, like, what is the most popular games? You look at Battlefield, Call of Duty, those military-style games. That's something I would agree, you know. Like, there you have, of course, the machismo going, but there I would say, why not have a female soldier? You know? Like, one or two female soldiers. Like, make it more realistic. Like, with that. Because they're always all about realism. Or make it so, what I don't understand with these shooter games, since the protagonist is so not speaking and so, why can't there be a choice with protagonists? Like, for example, with Mass Effect. It started out as kind of a role-playing game-ish kind of thing, and then just more or less became, by the third game, it's just a pure third-person shooter with some minor role-playing elements. And, you know, you might disagree with me, but there you could choose to be a male or a female. And as much as I, you know, as people say, you know, there's a lot of guys that like to play a female character, because especially in a third person game, because they always say, oh, if I'm gonna look at somebody's ass and I want it to be a female one. Okay, and I personally always say I like to play a guy because I'm a guy. I know, it sounds old school, it sounds very old-fashioned, but, for example, when I do a role-playing game, I don't allow the different, like, a male to play a female, or a female to play a male. For the simple reason is because that is too much of a challenge for most people to role-play. And it's just kind of weird and awkward, and a guy will play this basically what every feminist dreads is the big over, basically the bimbo that wants sex all the time. And but on the other hand, a role playing game is a role playing game, and I think for most part, most of the stuff that role playing players do is okay, since it's imaginary. There's one or two things I would never do in a role-playing game, but those are more or less obvious. And as in the same hand, girls will play a guy kind of in the same way. They will play a guy like what they want from a guy. But that won't represent a real guy, you know? So, not saying that it would be a problem if they played a guy in a feminine way. It's more about them playing a guy, and it wouldn't make sense, you know, for the most part. Now, if somebody can actually portray the other gender well in a role-playing game, I would allow it. You see, that's how I see it. So in that way, I am more defending that. But just this video, I'm kind of against that. That much money for her making some kind of review. And yeah, sure, there's some jealousy in that, but it's like another reason to show women a reason to hate video games. And women, instead of using this money to make some kind of that's the thing, is this with this whole reviewing thing going on, is that she's basically doing the same thing like other video game reviewers. She's just spinning it into her feminist thing, which is okay, and you know, I support that. But she is already being, you know, she has already ad support, which I congratulate her for, that she can actually, you know, make money from this. But now she wants extra money for that. On the one hand, I say, if people want to watch it, that's the great thing about Kickstarter. Good for them. Support it. Watch it. I probably won't watch it, because I think it's very one-sided. I would actually like to have a feminist show with a male and a female feminist. But a male feminist, they can see it from more of a male perspective, you know. And then I could say, this is fair game. Okay? So I don't support that. Just like I won't support these Kickstarters, but that's just my opinion. If you don't agree with it, you can write me. Whew, this took longer than I thought it would. Let me see here. I'm already at 50. Okay, I've got a little bit of time still. Sorry about taking that so much, but whatever. I'm still going to mention here a couple of things. I watched the new... recently I watched Friday 13th Part 7, The New Blood. Where the whole thing was, it was supposed to be Freddy versus Jason, but they couldn't get it back then. Later on, they eventually made it, but much later. Then they just replaced Freddy with a psychic girl, which I thought was really cool. And I think they did something with that with Freddy Krueger movies, and Jason fighting a girl who has more or less magic powers, I found interesting. And there's been a couple of movies in the 80s with girl with psychokinetic powers, which is like, really, this is kind of, could be very easily it's more or less a superhero show, but in the style of X-Men, but just made a little bit more creepier, a little bit more scarier, I guess. Kind of like Carrie, if you think about it. It's almost like Carrie versus Jason. Oh well. Also, Resident Evil, there has been a new trailer for the newest movie. It's like the only movie franchise that is still going, well, other than the Blood Raid movies, but those suck, all of them. But the Resident Evil movies, again, Mila Jovovich, very much the poster child for female action hero, that is beautiful, but also, for most movies, especially the Resident Evil movies, she's very much like Ripley, very made more unsexy. I don't know what you see. It's like, she's very tough, and she doesn't look like, she's not wearing anything usually that is sexualizing her, for the most part. Definitely not in the first one. The second one, I'm not sure. It has been a while. But, you know, there again, I'm always going back to this now, but this is kind of the theme of this show. Resident Evil movies. I've started with the second one. Should I continue watching the new ones? It's like the only video game movie franchise, live-action franchise, that is, that has been doing strong and is still doing strong, because they kind of made their own thing with this whole new movie verse. They started with the first movie, changed some things, but then they changed more and more things with every movie, and then they just make their own thing. But I haven't been following Resident Evil really since Nemesis, at least just reading about it. Playing-wise, I've only played the first two. Still have to finish the first one and the second one. I still want to play the third one. And Resident Evil is always known to have pretty strong female protagonists. Like, in the third one, you had always an option with the first two to play a male and a female. In the first one, it's basically a bunch of cops, and there's also a female one. So there's, again, a good example. And Resident Evil is a huge franchise, you know. Although, you know, Game Over Thinker would say, well, in the fifth one, you have this, you know, the black chick, but she has this special outfit where she's like, she has like a kind of a leopard bikini, and I'm like, this is really just an issue because she's black, right? Game over thinker. If she would be a blonde bimbo, nobody would care. Maybe some feminists would complain, but oh, it's just like seeing more of the same. And I'm saying like, it's somewhat insensitive, but on the other hand, maybe it's like the movie not taking itself so seriously. I would say to equal it out, just give the guy a thong, like a leopard thong suit, you know, not that I would want to see that, but just to equalize it out, would you then still complain? I always just go back to the Robot Chicken episode with the, where you have this guy from this movie inside the actor studio, that dude who interviews those actors, and he talks about, he shows this scene which is more or less kind of a racist scene, but then he shows it where he switches the two genders, and then there's one where it's just a bunch of silly, weird characters that don't make any sense. And he always asks in between the same sketches, like, so, what do you feel about it? Are you offended? And I'm like, this is what I'm thinking, is that people looking for things to be offended about and to write about, because that's what they kind of enjoy, is being offended. And that's what I see with Game Over Thinker. Again, he's like, oh, and people who've been pulling this shit, you are a disgrace to gamers worldwide. Yeah, okay, sure. They were kind of harassing the chick, but it's the internet. And she's doing well for herself, so really, I can understand if she's disturbed about it or offended and everything. But on the other hand, she's doing this with a bunch of fat, lonely nerds outside that don't have anything other to do, and they have all kind of sexual repression going on and issues. I'm not saying that they are right, but you know, I personally wouldn't do that, you know, because I do think it's, you know, very impolite, very stupid, very immature. And a lot of them are also very young, so and it's the internet in general, so it's something you gotta expect. So, again, Game Over Thinker being very judgmental, saying what we are supposed to do, and that's, again, he's like, oh, you should maybe support this, and I'm like, why is it that because you feel guilty because you looked at some digital boobies that you want to support this video now? And I'm like, no. Video games will change if society wants it to change, because video games are a business just like movies. If movies want to change, you know, if in just in general, they will change if the society says they want to change, if they want to buy games with more, you know. And Sims, for example, was a very good example. And yes, Sims was more played on the PC. It's also played on consoles, sure, but it's more played on the PC. And Sims, I enjoy Sims a lot because it also portrays a more realistic world. Yeah, it's not totally realistic, especially, you know, there's a lot of things that are very unrealistic about it. But there, if you want to be a female soldier, that's not a problem. You know, I had multiple characters where the guy would stay at home and take care of the family, and the mom would go out and work. And I don't see and you can have any combination there you want. Sims 2 was a great example, and I'm sure Sims 3 just built upon Sims 2. What I don't like about Sims 3 is all the downloadable content bullshit. With Sims 2, you could download content, but most of it was bought with, you would buy stuff packs and expansion packs, which I prefer, because there is a lot of stuff with that, and there was a lot of user-generated stuff. Now is there discouraging user-generated stuff, and they want you to buy, they want microtransaction bullshit. They want to do it like an MMO, and I'm like, fuck you. So, I don't like to cuss here, but this is something that I feel strongly about. Another thing I want to talk about fast, because I'm running out of time here. I'm already over an hour. Okay. I've been actually playing not that many video games. I've been watching more Netflix recently. I've been just a little bit burned out on games, but I've been playing the Avengers game on Facebook. And I'm really kind of ashamed to say that. Yeah, it's a social game. But it's actually pretty fun, and the reason why I am because Marvel finally announced a new MMO that they're developing, because they have started developing Marvel Universe Online, and then they said no, and they took away the license from the developers, but the developers said, oh, we're just going to get another license. So they get the Champion superhero role-playing game, and it just became Champions Online. And I played it, and it was the same guys who made City of Heroes and abandoned it, and now another company does that. And Champions Online is just somewhat better-looking City of Heroes. And I said, well, most people are just saying, might as well stick with City of Heroes. Although Champions is not bad, but that's pretty much it. Marvel has now done they have some kind of contract with Gazillion to make online games, and they did Super Hero Squad Online. Super Hero Squad is Marvel's alternate universe kind of thing, where they take their heroes, but they make them very kid-friendly. It's kind of like a junior thing. It's kind of annoying, and it's not for me. It was supposed to get a lot of kids involved. Some people enjoy that game. I don't want to touch it, because for me, Marvel, when I was a kid, the normal Marvel was for kids, you know, and it's supposed to be like that. So they announced a new game called Marvel Heroes, and it's made by one of the guys who was developing Diablo, and he stopped doing that, and now he does that. Now, the big thing is about this one is DC Universe Online is you're in the DC Universe, but you still make your own characters like City of Heroes. Now, in DC Universe Online, the cool thing is you have missions where you can fight with famous superheroes like Superman, Batman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and that, etc., etc. Or you can be also a villain, and then you can fight on the side of Joker, Lex Luthor, that's what. Now, in Marvel, and that's kind of what I'm thinking, that was supposed to be how Marvel Universe Online was supposed to be, but Marvel Heroes is doing it very different now. So, because one of the main developers, was working on Diablo, it's going to be Diablo-like. So it's going to be top-down, not from the back kind of camera. So it's going to feel more like Diablo. And I saw the trailer, and it does look cool, which I personally like. You know, it's something else. They're doing something else. And you are actually going to be able to play the Marvel characters. You know, like Spider-Man, Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, etc. And there's going to be a lot of them, you know, and there's going to be, like, Scarlet. They're also going to add Squirrel Girl. And I remember Jay Friedan was talking about, do you remember Squirrel Girl? And like, oh my god, you found Squirrel Girl. Congratulations. That's all I'm going to ever talk about Jay Friedan. That's it. Anyway, Squirrel Girl. Not that I personally really care or not care about her. She's just like, yeah, very obscure. Although, do you remember USA? Which is, hey, yes, there's a character called USA. Ulysses Solomon Archer. And I remember him only because he teamed up with She-Hulk and Howard the Duck. And especially she teamed up with She-Hulk when She-Hulk was able to break the fourth wall. She is actually a character that broke the fourth wall way before Deadpool did. And I remember as a kid, at first I didn't like that, because it was like, oh, so you're basically... But now I kind of think it's funny and awesome, because now people are like, oh yeah, Deadpool. I'm like, yeah, She-Hulk did that before. So, anyway, I think I've been playing the Facebook game, because I really want to play this new game. For some reason, I'm just excited for it. Marvel Heroes. And I just see a new picture. There I have a picture with the Avengers now, because they're really popular. What I really hate now is they had this really cool cartoon, Avengers Earth, Mightiest Heroes. And it went for 2 seasons now, and now they're canceling it. Not because Avengers is not popular, it's because the movie got really popular. They're rebooting the cartoon with a new cartoon, which where the characters look very much like the ones from the movie. So they're like, you know, Captain America looks more like, you know, he has the more ultimate style look. Basically, they look like in the movie, with the roster, and I'm like, why didn't you build on what you had? But oh well, that's another topic for other ones. Anyway, Marvel Heroes looks really cool, but the thing is, you can actually play the Marvel Heroes. Okay, you don't make your original characters; you have the Marvel Heroes. You can have costumes, alternate costumes, and a lot of them have a lot of costumes and powers which you can develop. Now, this sounds really cool because that is something that is really cool and that everybody wants. I remember City of Heroes, a lot of people would make costumes and powers and characters very similar to known Marvel, DC, or other characters. I remember a guy running around as Rocky, another one running around as Vegeta, and so on. I remember to make a Batman costume was really hard because there wasn't really any ears like Batman had. But anyway, so the Marvel Heroes looks cool because you can play the heroes, but I personally see that there's going to be a problem because you're going to see a lot of Iron Mans, Wolverines, and Spider-Mans running around, which is going to look weird. Unless they kind of make it like Guild Wars that you actually don't see the other players unless they're in your party, and then kind of limit it that there can be only one Iron Man or one Wolverine, which I think that is going to be kind of an issue. I don't know how they're going to fix that, because that was the main thing to hold this back. Because if it would be a more, not an MMO, but a normal multiplayer game where it has single player, kind of like, what is it, Ultimate Alliance? If you would have Ultimate Alliance, but with multiplayer on PC, then, and I think that was the idea, to make Ultimate Alliance, but now they're making Marvel Heroes instead, and even the trailer reminds me of Ultimate Alliance, because you can see the main big villain is Doctor Doom with the Cosmic Cube, or for you newer fans of Marvel from the movie, the Tesseract. Yeah, that's the Cosmic Cube. But yeah, anyway, this game looks good. I only seen the trailer, and on the website they're just announcing obvious new characters. Oh, they have announced movie costumes for the Avengers, which is kind of cool. I like that. And also they announced Scarlet Witch. I'm curious when this will be. This will probably, to be honest, this will be most realistically released 2013 sometime. Because MMOs need time to develop. And yeah, I hope this will be released. Not like, I don't want to really try Superhero Squad. I'm not interested in that. And Marvel really needs to get into this MMO thing. I don't care for the Elder Scrolls MMO. It doesn't look like anything special. And the MMO market is overflooded, and it's really hard to compete with WoW still to this day. Star Wars Old Republic hasn't been doing well, so I hope Marvel Heroes, with what they're doing now to actually play the Marvel characters, and it's free to play with microtransactions. This is the only way to do MMOs now. Don't ever do it with pay for monthly, because it just doesn't work anymore. Almost no MMOs is doing it still that way. There's a couple that are, but the only one that can sustain itself from that is WoW. Star Wars The Old Republic had some success, but they're dwindling now. They just gamble too high, I think. Anyway, I'm excited for that game. If you know anything about it, or you're interested in talking about it, just write me on thegamingbeast@gmail.com, and we'll talk about it. Or you can write me a comment on my website, on Mondo Coolcast, on Glitched Out, on my YouTube. There's many ways you can write to me. Check out my Twitter, check out my Facebook, like, subscribe, tweet, whatever. You know the deal. So I'm going to throw in one more quick song, and then that will be it for the show.
now that summertime's almost here, you'll be roasting hamburgers on the outdoor grill. Just be sure you've got plenty of that smoother Pabst Blue Ribbon cooling off in the icebox.